good morning on this beautiful April 28th, Tuesday morning. You've tuned in to 88.5 KRFY's morning show with myself, Susie Prez, as one of your hosts.
And I'm Chris Bessler, your co-host, Susie.
We're very happy to be here this morning with you, listeners out there in Radioland. And we have a special guest this morning.
It's Mayor Carrie Logan.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good morning, yep. Carrie.
We're going to be doing city talk and finding out what's happening around the city.
All right.
It's been a few months since you were in.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I had a little broken leg in between visits.
Well, thank you for, you know, taking care of that off the air for us.
Yeah.
It's very nice to have you here. And we're going to do this every once in a while, about every 6 weeks. So we're looking forward to seeing what's happening in the middle of the summer also. But before we get to our interview, let's hear about the weather. Of course, we're looking forward to a beautiful day. It is going to be sunny with a high of 75. Currently, it's 43 degrees. And I'm just scrolling down here. Let's see. Sunny with highs near 75. Calm winds becoming south around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 p.m. Increasing clouds with lows around 46. Winds 5 to 7 miles per hour and then becoming calm. Wednesday, chance of showers about 50%. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with lows around 35. The high tomorrow is about 62. And then again on Thursday, mostly sunny with highs near 62. Southwest winds 7 to 9 miles per hour. So a little bit of rain in there and then sunny again.
Sounds like springtime.
Yep.
Today is going to be gorgeous. So get out and enjoy that before we get a couple of cooler days. Our sunrise this morning was at 5:32 a.m. Sunset will be at 7:55 p.m. And that means in the past week, we picked up 23 minutes more sunlight.
Wow.
I noticed it getting light at 5:30.
Yeah. Tell you what, it gets you out of bed early.
Mm-hmm. Farmer's hours. Yeah. Early to rise.
The moon is now 75% full. It's going to be full on Sunday. Lake level is at 2054.5 feet, and it's coming up. It's come up about a half foot in the last week. And it's projected to continue rising. In fact, the projection right now is it might come up almost 2 feet this week as they begin filling the reservoir up.
Kind of time for getting out those kayaks.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, speaking of kayaking, the rivers actually are in nice kayaking shape right now for people that like to do whitewater. The Priest River is at 2320 CFS. It's down from about 2,500 a week ago, but the sections of the Priest that are good for whitewater, that's a nice level. The Moy River is at 1090 cubic feet per second. It's down from about 1,200 feet on the 23rd. We have a small snowpack this year. Those are actually low levels for this time of year for both of those rivers. So people that like to do whitewater should be getting out early this year because with a small snowpack, it's probably not going to last. That's what's happening outside. What's been going on around town, Susie?
Well, I think something happened this last week. I was on the phone, and all of a sudden, my sister said, "Wow, something's happening. It's shaking." And she's way over in Ponderay, and it was happening where I was, too. So I right away said, "Earthquake." What else could it have been, right?
Or a train. Big train.
Yeah,
could be big train around here.
Anyway, so we had the earthquake. So where were you, Chris?
I was at my place. Actually, when the first earthquake came at about 7:30 p.m., and this was on Thursday, I believe. And it was, I think I was driving, totally missed it. And then the second quake, when it came, I was at my house up Baldy. We're about 4 miles up Baldy. And, you know, there was a loud bang that I heard. And it was a little startling. The house shook a little bit. I was kind of drowsing on the couch, and I was like, "Oh, it must be a train." We're way away from the trains. I'm so train.
Me too. I thought it was the explosion of one of the oil tanker cars. Yeah. So,
and what did you do, Carrie, to find out what it was right away?
Well, my husband and I were sitting at home, and so he went out on the front porch, thinking it was a big wreck or something, and I was thinking initially the oil train exploding, which tells me I'm way too immersed in that subject that's the first thing I go to. But anyway, But there wasn't a secondary, so I knew it wasn't the oil car blowing up. And then we have significant rattle places in our house that rattle with heavy trains. Well, there was no train sound because we can hear all the trains. And so then we knew it was an earthquake.
Earthquake, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we slept through the 10:30 or whatever, yeah. And the middle of the night, when the 1 o'clock or something, my husband was awake and felt that.
So the larger of the earthquakes was measured at about 4.2 on the Richter scale. And actually, it brings up an interesting thing about where we live here. We actually live on a fault called the Hope Fault.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously has not been very active. But with things going on underground, maybe, who knows, maybe it is.
Well, and if you look at a map of the tectonic plates, you know, we're kind of on that whole ring of fire, which there was first the volcanic explosion in Peru, and then up this way, not that we were significant, but I'm sure there were other shakers. And then BC had the 6.2 on Friday, and then Nepal, yeah.
That, big tragedy going on
there.
Yeah,
horrible, just horrible.
Just 7.8.
Yeah.
Earthquake, which caused a lot of damage and death.
Well, you think about our downtown, all brick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we were in that, they didn't do rebar in those walls. And, mm-hmm. You know, you think about the impact of a bigger one than we sustained.
Yeah, our older buildings would be in real trouble.
Right.
Kind of like the building we're in.
Well, let's see, I see a brick wall right behind you.
I know.
So, What's that song, Run, Baby, Run?
I know. Where's my hard hat?
So other things going on around town? Well, the Lake Pondere Idaho Club is having their annual K&K Derby, fishing derby right now. It started on Saturday. It'll run through this weekend. And the leader right now is about 21 pounds, 21-pound camel.
Did you see the picture in the paper this morning of that big old trout?
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
very impressive. It may have been the 21-pounder.
Yeah. That's a very large fish.
When you think about going and buying a pound of salmon, this is 21 pounds of fish.
Yeah. Right.
It's a big fish.
Yeah. It's a toddler.
Well, it's actually is indicative that our fisheries are really responding to the management efforts that's gone on the
Absolutely.
Last several years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is the weekend that the Farmer's Market opens at Farman Park. And I think everyone loves the Farmer's Market.
Yep.
Can't wait. I was talking with Emily Levine, and she said there's going to be food there. The farmers have been growing it in hoop houses and greenhouses for the last couple months. So there'll be a lot of greens and starts for plants in your own garden. And that starts at 9 o'clock, and it runs through October. Every Saturday and Wednesday. Wednesday is 3 p.m. until 5:30 p.m. And the Saturday one is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yep, that's another sure sign of spring. I'm going to throw out one more sure sign of spring is that the ospreys came back on, I think, April 5th. And as you know, we have an osprey cam on the one of the nests at Memorial Field. They got busy, built a very nice looking nest.
Yes,
and then
they did.
On Sunday, they laid their first egg.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Congratulations. You feel a little paternalistic about this whole thing.
Yeah, as you know, my day job, we're involved in helping maintain.
Right. And you have sound on it this year?
We have sound on it. And the picture is much clearer.
It sure is. It's very, very nice.
I will say with the sound, what we've discovered is that where the microphone is mounted, it seems to amplify the wind sound.
Oh.
So if there's a wind blowing, it can be kind of distracting, although you can mute it. But when the wind's not blowing, you can put the sound on. They talk a lot, the ospreys do, that chirping that they make.
Mm-hmm. And pretty cool. How do you get to see this osprey cam?
Oh, you go to sandpointospreys.com, or that's the direct link to it, or you go to sandpointonline.com, and you'll see a picture of an osprey on the homepage, and you click on that. And I hope the city is also linking to it.
I believe we do, but I will double check that and make sure it's on there because I love it. And some of our staff are monitoring closely. Like me, I click it up and bring it up.
And just take a little look and see what's happening.
Yeah. I love it. It's just fun. Totally fun.
The other thing I noticed as I was walking over here today, another sign of spring, is that the fountains were on at Jeff Jones Town Square.
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, there's little markers for living up here in the Northland where we really can say, oh, spring's here. And that's a sign of spring. You can see the fountains going.
Yep. And I saw the guys Parks Department guys out on Fifth Avenue yesterday re-energizing the sprinkler system out there. And so that's another sign, too. And I imagine baskets will be coming out pretty soon, flower baskets.
And the basketballs, too. I noticed that Pine Street basketball court, everybody's out there playing. Yeah. It's just a wonderful sight to
see. It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Mayor Logan.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us today. And let's dig in on things that are going on with the city.
Okay.
What would you say the top topics are for the city right now?
I didn't organize it that way. I kind of went through departments in my mind. So let me start with departments, because this is the first I'm going to talk about is a very big project that involves every department within the city. And it's called an information management system, which was budgeted by council last year. And it's a way of utilizing a service called Laserfiche to digitize all of our documents. Like most traditional governments, we drown in paper. And this is a way of transitioning us from paper to digital. And it's going to be a huge time savings to the city. It's a wonderful service amenity to the public. For instance, if you have a permit going through, you'll be able to access exactly where that permit is in the approval process, any comments that are on there, that kind of thing. It's also the gateway to enabling every department to receive payments online for services. That'll be tremendous for Parks and Rec because, you know, if you've ever signed up for any programs over there, they've got those little pieces of paper and they go here and they go there and everybody has copies and they stack. So we're really excited about that. Everybody is scanning documents like crazy. There's individual scanners on almost every administrative support desk. And there are two large scanners on each floor that I don't understand all the technicalities of it, but I know it's going to work good that bring all that information together in a real usable fashion. So we're very excited about that. That was being implemented first in finance, and GIS will be linked to it. Everybody will be linked to it.
So will you be going back to scan documents that are X number of years old?
Yes, we will.
How far back will you go?
I don't know how far back we're going, but we're doing that. Because you have no idea where we have stuff stored. We use a silo over in the Moses Lake area or something to store papers in. And then we've got the Woodland storage area. And then we have every cubby hole inside City Hall. And we have this and we have that. And just in terms of trying to recover records, you know, it'll be much more manageable too. So very excited about that.
In order to find them, I'm sure you can index these electronic documents, and then you can do a search of the
and
database.
It's a really smart system. Melissa Ward, who sits in front at City Clerk's office, was saying that it's very intuitive. It will do things with the document that you didn't even think of doing. And as our staff uses it more and more, they're realizing more and more applications for the system all the time. So it's really terrific. Mm-hmm. There are other cities throughout the state that have used this particular vendor. I think it's Idaho Falls or Twin Falls, one of the two, and another one and a couple of school districts, and they're very, very pleased with it. So that's what we're doing.
So that's a step in efficiency.
Yep. Costs a little money to get efficient sometimes, but it's going to be awesome. Then in parks, of course, they're doing the day-to-day management of ramping up for a big summertime. That involves hiring a lot of part-time and seasonal people. Seems like every day I sit down, I sign another employment authorization coming through, you know, because we hire a lot of temporary people for the summer. And Kim will be involved in providing information on the May 6th or the November ballot for the Memorial Field proposal, assuming council approves that when it comes to them on the 6th in the form of the resolution.
So let's talk about that a little
bit.
So this is it's going to be voted on by the
citizens of Sandpoint.
Yeah, city residents only.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And it is to raise money specifically for field improvements at Memorial Field.
Right. Grandstands, and gateway and ADA and all that is the primary focus. If as a result of the 5-year commitment, there are additional monies, then the field will be redone. And if there are still additional monies, that will go into a perpetual maintenance fund for the facility, which would be very nice to have. So
what's the total? Is this a bond?
No, it's not a bond. It's a sales tax.
Okay, it's a sales tax.
It's a one cent on the dollar.
Okay, for everything that's sold within the city?
Yes, that is not already exempted by state law.
Okay.
And there's a lot of that. Plus, I think there was interest when the council first authorized staff to bring back the resolution. There was interest in not applying the 1 cent to hotel. And I don't know if we incorporated that into the language of this or not, if that be done by amendment if the council is so interested. But I would anticipate they do that since they just had the resort city tax increase for their customers, too.
Hotels are already paying none of those
dollars really go to this. But so anyway, that was some of their reasoning. Mm-hmm.
So how much money would a 1 cent sales tax raise
each year? We're hoping to get a total of $3 million.
Over the 5 years
of this. It's very hard to predict, though, because the state does not break down the sales tax per city. They give it to you per county. And so you have to kind of guess. Shannon is incredibly accurate with her guesstimates, and so we think this will do it.
And will the $3 million, if it's that much is raised, will that cover all the expenses?
Yes.
Would the construction have to wait until enough money comes in to?
We would hope to get started really soon, and we could do that in the form of a loan from water or sewer and pay that back with the revenue of the sales tax. So that's probably the way we'll go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because if you just sit and wait for 5 years, then your costs escalate.
Right. Right. So has there been controversy within the council about whether or not to approve this? And again, this is just to approve it for the ballot.
Correct.
The citizens are going to have to vote
on
this.
Citizens make the decision, and I think that's the important thing to focus on. Mm-hmm. Council doesn't have to make the decision.
Right.
Citizens.
The council just has to decide whether it should be brought to
the
citizens.
Whether it's worth the citizens' attention at a vote. Right. And I think there's support from council on this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what an asset Memorial Field is, terms of economics and recreational and
community spirit.
And community spirit and pride.
It's a community gathering place.
Yes, it is. It is for sure. It is for sure.
You ever go to a football game or a soccer game there, you see every part of the community.
Yeah.
So the first amount of revenue would go towards fixing the grandstand. Is mm-hmm. that taking it down and replacing it, or is it renovating it?
Nope, it's taking it down and replacing it.
Is it in dire straits?
It's in pretty bad shape. We got each year we get an structural engineering report on it, and this year was equally as bad as previous years. But there's also the issue, when somebody starts notifying you that, well, you have a problem with ADA here and you have a problem with that, you have the onus is on us to do something about that. Mm-hmm. So
ADA being a handicap accessibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you did create, or at least for the festival last year, they created some handicap accessible seating that was a little different.
Right.
With some ramps and things.
Right. Right.
So that would be the first thing that would get replaced, sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually...
It's part of the whole thing.
There's literally not much life left in the old grandstands.
No.
At some point, though, they will be condemned.
Yes. And if they're condemned and... or we just can't manage them anymore, they'll come down. And if we don't have money to do anything different, just aluminum bleachers will go up, And I don't think anybody wants that. But...
It's a big asset for the community,
obviously. It is.
And it is a place that thousands of people come to every year.
And the sports community is saying, with better facility and better field, because our field is such a problem. And you can host baseball tournaments. You can do all kinds of stuff where you have play game after game after game. Right now, we can't do that because especially on the football field, because it's grass, doesn't have proper drainage, and you know what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Becomes a mud bog. Mm-hmm. And
it breaks down
It
too
breaks
quick.
Down really, mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. fast. So that's part of our planning for this is Kim is doing an assessment of how that field could be managed.
And when they play football games or anyone uses the field, they do pay for that use.
Yes, they do.
So that could generate more revenue.
Yeah, it's not significant, though.
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, even after a new field's built, and let's say there were more events there, that's, it's not going to be a big revenue generator.
No, it isn't.
Maybe now, to help maintain it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this has actually already been on the ballot once.
Yes, it was several years ago, and we just missed.
a majority voted for it.
Yes, right?
It takes a super majority.
It takes a 60.
Yeah, 60% majority has to approve it.
Right.
So this time the
you know that really bothers me too. That allows the minority to dictate the majority's actions, right?
Yeah,
it just doesn't seem right. But anyway. I like 50 plus one.
There's a philosophical argument to be made there that when you're raising taxes, that it should take more than just a simple majority to do it. So,
well, that's a statement. That's not really a philosophy about justification. But anyway,
a new subject for our agenda.
Let me move on to another department. Streets. Exciting stuff in streets. So we're doing this overlay project on 3rd Ave, which is the street in front of the hospital. And as a part of that, we are embedding conduit to facilitate distribution of fiber through the downtown, and we should have that completed this construction season, and then we would contract with a vendor to light it up and manage it, but it's a way of us getting fiber to City Hall, to the courthouses. It would be available for any businesses to shoot off of. And then from the courthouse, it goes over to City Hall. So we have a robust fiber network, which we can light up and access internet to.
So it's fiber optics?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's quicker, faster, and more capacity.
Mm-hmm.
More broadband, I guess it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So excited about that. And the county, likewise.
So how is this related to the effort that the Bonner County EDC was making several years back to bring in a fiber optic network that mm-hmm. would actually, the idea at that point was to light up the whole town and make mm-hmm. it available out in the residential areas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is this following on from that?
Only in the sense that it's implementation of a fiber system, not in terms of the format that they were using or their goals. That plan was very tied to taking fiber to residential because their financial model depended on it. This doesn't.
Who would operate this fiber optic?
Well, we would some
a contractor
yeah,
to the city.
Yeah, yeah. And because we don't want to be in the fiber business, right. You know. And
But the city would be providing basically the infrastructure
correct.
To get it there.
That's our goal, is to provide the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the county is working on doing a project also from the county building over to the jail, you know, because they have all kinds of responsibilities about how they have to protect the integrity of their legal information and all that. This would also facilitate the connection to the courthouse. Our part of it would facilitate their connection to the courthouse, so they would have a secure line, which reduces their need and cost for encryption because mm-hmm. nobody else can get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very exciting. It's mm-hmm. very exciting.
Yeah,
you know,
exciting.
We waited for the privates forever to do this,
yeah.
and they
mm-hmm.
didn't do it. So mm-hmm. we're
and
doing
this
it.
Will, if it's available to the downtown area, it's going to open up new opportunities for entrepreneurs.
That absolutely.
Are internet-based companies.
Absolutely.
To utilize this
right.
high bandwidth connection.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And off of the county's run, we'll be delivering it out to the east side of the airport. They'll be on the west side of the airport. We'll be on the east side of the airport so that facilitates high-speed fiber communications for the businesses out there, for the count, for the city shop. For all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
like you're talking about Quest or Tamarack?
Yeah, they're going, that's the county run. That's going right. to be on the west side.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tamarack's on our side and, well, part of it. And so, yeah, because we really want to get it out to that area. And we want to get it up Division too, because there are businesses out there that, you know, are crying for engineering firms that are crying for symmetry mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. speed mm-hmm. and affordability.
Mm-hmm. So this has the potential for really encouraging and developing new businesses.
Yes, it does. It's tremendous. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're how really long has this been in the works?
We've been actively working on this for about 3 months, I would say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 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 And when would the fiber be laid? When would it be complete and ready to light up?
Oh, I don't have a time frame on that. I would hope by this fall.
Okay. That's pretty fast, actually, after all the years that it's been talked about.
I know.
Okay. And we're listening to 88.5 KRFY. We're here in the studios with our very own mayor of Sandpoint, Kerry Logan, when we're talking about all kinds of business things, but I think maybe it's time for a song. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Just take a little break and regroup. This is John Prine, In a Town This Size, written by Dolores Kean.
In a town this size.
And that was John Prine, In a Town This Size. And we're here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY with The Morning Show. Chris Bessler, Susie Prez here with Mayor Kerry Logan.
And we're talking about all kinds of city topics today, obviously, with the mayor. So, Mayor, what else is on your tick list of things?
Okay, on my 3x5 card?
that our citizens need to know about.
Okay. We were talking about fiber and Third Avenue overlay, and we'll also be doing the Schweitzer Cutoff Project, not the roundabout because we didn't get the funding through the Tiger Grant, but from the intersection of Schweitzer Cutoff and Boyer to the west up to North Boyer. Because that area, you know, that goes in front of the Mormon church is really, really bad. And we have funding for that. It'll be a project run by an agency called LTAC. They're the funding source. And so the right-of-ways, I believe all the right-of-way have been purchased. And anyway, bids are going to go out this year and that'll be done, which will be wonderful to have that. It'll be done in such a way that when we do get the funding for the roundabout, all of that will mesh.
Right.
It'll all
right.
homogenize.
So. And so how far off would the roundabout now be?
That's totally funding determined. So we'll keep looking for money, maybe make a run at the Tiger again. We didn't for this year, but
And the Tiger Grant is a sort of federally
supported? Federal. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Federal highways. Yeah. So anyway.
I will testify that section of road could definitely use some help.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a piece that skiers use, which... Mm-hmm. It's all part of, you know, part of the tourism economy, which is very important here in the winter, particularly. And it leads to the impression of that the ski area can give as people are arriving.
Right. Yeah. And that leads me into talking about Spot, you know, because we are one of the financial supporters of Spot, the Spot Bus. And I serve on the mayor's advisory board for the Spot Bus. We were having a meeting yesterday. And Schweitzer is very interested in Spot taking over the runs up and down the mountain in the wintertime. And so Spot is going to submit a Tiger Grant application for capital to purchase 5, I believe it is, of those 45-passenger-like school buses to do that run. And that's just... I hope the numbers all work out that we can do that because that's terrific for the mountain. It's terrific for town because it gives really good connection for people that are staying in town that want to go up on the mountain or people staying on the mountain that want to come down to town. And we've always talked about that, making that connection between those two places. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a physical connection as much as anything
Well,
else.
Right now, the Spot Bus does run out to...
it runs to the Red Barn.
To the Red Barn. And then Schweitzer Bus picks them up
Correct.
There and takes them on up.
Correct.
And there are... It's not just a tourism play there at all. That a lot of young people and skiers that live in town use that connection.
Right, right, right. And so anyway, that's kind of an
Spot
exciting
ridership
thing.
Is remaining
just,
high?
Oh, yeah. Yep, just keeps going and going. It's kind of like the Energizer Bunny, you know. Mm-hmm. And, so that's pretty exciting. Okay, let me go to planning department. As you know, Jeremy resigned in January and... The interviews for the new planning director this Thursday, and we have four really good candidates. And so by next week we should know. We'll do a background check on whoever, you know, rises to the top and then make an offer of employment. Two from Bonner County, one from Kootenai County, and one from out of state.
Okay. And they have...
Not the C word state. I can't remember which state.
What kind of credentials are required for this job?
Degree in planning or associated, number of years of experience, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you get a whole bunch of applications for this?
No, we only got about maybe 12. Yeah. I was really surprised.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But if you look on the APA National website, there's a zillion jobs out there. And I don't know if it's because, and I've noticed this in the papers too, there's more public hiring now than there has been in the last number of years. So I think there's a lot of choices, although I would think a planner would love to come here. Mm-hmm. But
I assume that it's also a matter of providing a competitive compensation deal.
Right.
And how much does that pay? Is that competitive with other areas?
I think it is. We belong to an organization that monitors all of that and makes sure we're competitive in this whole area. And we are. I think planners make $75,000, $80,000 a year. You know, probably that's mid-range. Starting is probably a little bit lower. But it's decent money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so that's going on in planning.
That's a big deal for the
city.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jeremy Graham had a big role that he played.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was on board for, eight years?
Yeah. Almost 8 years, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then associated with planning, you know, they are looking at all the new plans of places that are coming in. Of course, Timber Sled's doing an expansion. And that's kind of exciting because the expansion is continuing out there, even with the purchase by Polaris. So that's a good indication.
And that was news just this week.
Yes.
That the huge company Polaris, which
makes
Polaris Snow Machines, is purchasing Timber Sled. Timber Sled manufactures a component that you add to a motorcycle to make it a snow machine.
Right, an aftermarket kit kind of, yeah.
And Polaris obviously thought there was value in that.
Right.
Good news is that they are staying here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, judging by what they've said and by the fact that they're continuing on their expansion plans out by the airport. So that's great.
And how many employees are currently employed at Timbersham?
I'm not sure. I'm going to guess and say 30 or so. They're stationed over in Kootenai right now.
That's significant.
Yeah. But they were anticipating easily doubling their workforce with the new facility. So
that's the kind of thing that can make a difference with what happened with Coldwater to keeping our community viable in financially and economically with jobs.
And I'm really interested to see what the new owners of the Coldwater facility decide to do with that space. Mm-hmm. I know our old Spark group was out there while I was on vacation talking with them. And of course, that's conversation we had before, but location isn't right for the kind of facility that we want to create. I do not believe, and nor does the Y believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway.
Well, I was just talking with one of the owners and who just purchased the building, and they want to lease it out, is what he said.
Right.
They're going to help us with some equipment for our membership drive this in June, and just talking with him a bit there. Looking at what they can bring in to rent out various aspects of that place.
Right, yes.
Yeah, they're very forward thinking. They certainly want to, you know, fill those buildings up.
Right.
And I think they're already maybe located a potential candidate that might open something like a call center there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're at least looking for that. That's one idea, which could bring, you know, even several hundred jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a real boon to the community.
Absolutely. Then fire. We continue to have that operational agreement with Sagal, and that's working out very well. And we're continuing to gather information on whether we want to go a full-blown consolidation of the two fire entities, and we don't have a conclusion on that yet.
Give us a little more background on that. Our Sandpoint Fire Department basically is merged.
Function basically as one department.
Mm-hmm.
Staff switches back and forth, but all associated costs remain with each entity. So Sagal pays their guys, Sandpoint pays our guys, but we share the chief's costs. Mm-hmm. We share that between Sandpoint and Sagal 50-50, and we share the administrative assistant position. And it works to provide really good coverage. I mean, we always had good coverage, but I mean, it's primo. And from my conversations with the chief, the staff is really on board with this. They like it. It's working well. So
that raises a question that's been talked about many years, is what happens if the Long Bridge goes down and there's a big emergency on either side of the bridge? Is there a plan B? I mean, the plan B would have to be to drive to Priest River to cross, to get emergency personnel on one side of the river or the other.
Right, right.
I imagine the emergency folks have some kind of contingency.
Yeah, a lot of prayer. I don't know. Yeah, there's, you know, the option of going through Priest River, and it's the reason you need to be well prepared on either side of that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to answer that specifically, Chris.
You have the North Side Fire Department. Is that part of Sandpoint?
No, it's not.
Okay, North Side could come in, West Side could come in.
Right. Even, right, for us. Yeah, yeah. I think he's focusing more on Sagal.
It could affect either side of the river.
Correct.
If the bridge went down and there was a big emergency mm-hmm. thing.
Right.
And, I mean, for health services as well.
Right.
If
you need to get to the hospital and you can't.
You can't, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the issues of having a big bridge that's...
Mm-hmm. Well, there's lots of dividers. I mean, that's the river is a natural divider there. And then to the north in our town, we have the BNSF line going across Boyer, which splits our town in half.
That's right.
Delays emergency response significantly mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. causes people to wait and economic loss significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've had conversation with BNSF about that recently, and because we want them to fund a planning grant for a grade separation at Boyer Baldy. And so they've referred us to their BNSF foundation for funding of that, and that's something I have to work on soon.
And what would that facilitate?
An underpass.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
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 Every time I drive down Boyer, I always think, is luck with me today?
Yeah.
Or is there going to be a train here any minute?
Right, right. And this wouldn't be the slow track. This isn't the UP. It'd be the fast track, the BNSF.
Mm-hmm. Is that the first one north of town? I mean, is it the one that's closer to the north?
Yes, closer to the north. Mm-hmm. The one right on the edge of the U of I property.
The north is the BNSF line.
I call them the fast line and the slow line.
Mm-hmm. The slow line doesn't have the same kind of traffic.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So but it does move slowly because I've been stuck there many times.
I know.
Sometimes it'll just come and it'll stop.
Right.
And you got to make the calculation. Okay, is it worth trying to drive back maybe to Division to see if it's not reached?
Have they already? Okay, they're going that direction. Have they already reached there, or they're coming from that direction? Are they almost done?
Exactly.
You know, or do I get on Larch and hop on 95 and go around?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Fire and police play that game all the time too. So
I'm sure.
And then police are hiring a new officer to replace an officer who resigned recently and just completed another CIT academy where three more officers were trained. And they will be also attending a training on de-escalating folks with autism. Yeah. And...
Does that include folks with autism and mental health issues?
Probably, because mm-hmm. the mental health issues are addressed through the CIT.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the thing that's not understood about the CIT is that it is training that's applicable to any escalating situation and real transferable skills. So not just to the mental health population. It isn't like you go, press the mental health response button, you know. So
what does CIT stand for?
It stands for Crisis Intervention Training.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is this related to the shooting that we had in town
last
year?
No, this is already planned. Yeah, we do this once a year.
Is there any special training I guess the question would be, what's the net effect of the, that was a tragedy.
Right.
I'm sure everybody would agree to that. Did it call for any operational changes within the police department?
I think they've made some changes in terms of the details of proximity of response, but there are some real complicating issues with the way the message was delivered from dispatch and the information relayed from the hospital. And, you know, because they don't want to pull a car up within certain distance of the known suspect vehicle, and nobody knew what the known suspect vehicle was. So that, you know, trying to help figure out that kind of stuff in a better, more manageable way. And so anyway, that is going on. And of course, we had the two tort claims filed, but no civil suits filed. But they have 2 years to do that.
Related to the shooting?
Yes. And then in our legal department, we have a summer intern, and one, she's not on board yet, but legal students do this. They're studying to prep for the bar, and we hire them for the summer and get a lot of good work out of them while they're getting ready to take the bar. We do that almost every year. And she'll be cleaning up some code sections on trees and a bunch of nickel and dime stuff that needs to be reconciled. And then a last...
So she works with the city attorney?
Yeah.
And that's interesting. Brand new news to me. I didn't know that we brought on an intern each year to work on those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then as a result of this legislative session, the Highway Distribution Fund is expected to result in an increase to us of about 38%. And I don't know what that translates to in dollars, but that's, you know, any more money is good. And this statement has been made that general sales tax collection in the state is up around 7%. So, of course, we will get a portion of that, not a significant portion.
Is that based on the mass sales that actually occur within the city limits?
No, that's statewide. That's an average statewide. That's not just Bonner
County.
But
the amount that we end up getting back.
Yes,
they from sales tax collected. Here in the city.
Yes.
Does it all come back to the city? I imagine the state keeps a chunk.
No. It's a very small percentage, less than 15, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the good news is if the collections are going up, you are going to get some more back. Mm-hmm. And now you mentioned with the distribution from the highway funding.
I know what you're going to ask me. Is it related to independent highway district and all that? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And I knew I should have found that out. If that means their money goes up, so what they pass on.
Yeah.
But we get some money directly from the state on highways, too. And I think that's what they're talking about.
And this follows from the decision by the legislature to increase funding for all roads.
Right.
And the state is keeping about 60% of that for state projects, but then they're distributing back down 40% of it to the local entities.
Right.
And that's a $95 million bill that was passed by the legislature.
I thought it was 120. 95 is what it wound up being?
95 is the number that I saw.
It's what the B reported.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's way under what, they needed the 250 minimum just to maintain.
Yes.
Yeah. With no new.
The legislature, at least from what they say, is they're recognizing they need to fund it at a higher level, but this was a step in that direction.
Right. And while I think of it, we want to talk about Fifth Avenue and the depot.
Yes.
Okay, so Fifth Avenue, as you know, the board, ITD board, approved relinquishment of the downtown streets and the Fifth Avenue two-way, and now they have to fund it, and I believe that's going to happen at the May meeting, and still targeted for 2016.
What that does, it allows us to continue with the downtown street redesign that's been in process now for several years.
Right. We're also going to be redoing Church Street this year, sidewalks and stormwater features. And it'll be, this is still going to be one way, but it's just paint on the street to change it to two way when Fifth Avenue happens. So, but it will reflect though the diagonal one block on one side of the street, diagonal on the other side of the street, the next block,
that'll happen. The diagonal parking. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be a big change. That will add a lot of
it'll add a lot of parking. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the depot. What time are we, Susie? Are we getting close?
We're close. We have a few more minutes.
Okay. Well, the depot. If anybody hasn't driven by the depot, turned on the street to go up there, you really should. It's a treat to the eye. It's real eye candy. It looks awesome. And I've been privileged to go inside of it several times along the rehab course. And Justin Shuck and crew did an awesome job. And I've seen the
pictures of the exterior.
Uh-huh.
It looks almost practically like new.
I know.
It's the building, but
I know.
It's like,
I know.
Wow.
I know.
It's really shining. Now, when is the interior going to be available?
They're going to, Amtrak is going to be doing what they call a soft opening, which means it'll be open for passengers without a lot of public hoo-ha. It's just like you show up there and, hey, it's open. I'm going to go in. But the official grand opening, and that should happen soon. I can't tell you which date because I'm trying to confirm that, mm-hmm. actually for the reader because they asked me. Mm-hmm. But the grand opening is scheduled for May 30th, and there's a ceremony and awards down at Sandpoint Event Center, Brad Scott's building, awarding the Idaho Preservation Onion and Orchids to... the depot and to the Nesbitt House, and then the grand opening cut the ribbon ceremony at the depot about 2:30 that afternoon. So
yes, that's going to be a very
exciting.
You mentioned the Nesbitt House. That's another renovation of mm-hmm. a historic old home
right
here.
On Third and Poplar. Yeah,
yes,
Third and Poplar.
I think that's
Fourth
correct.
And Poplar.
Fourth and Poplar.
Fourth and Poplar.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been inside that. Have you been inside that?
I haven't. Somebody from my office went in and took pictures and was pretty gorgeous. They switched up from being a residential
right.
to an office space.
Right.
But they did a very nice renovation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got classic Victorian.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
We're all happy about that.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And so the building, the depot, you know, only interior-wise, they did all the mechanicals for the full building, but they only rehabbed the front small waiting area, kind of where the women's bathroom was off mm-hmm. in there. So there's a unisex bathroom, and then there's the waiting area with one of the old benches. And then the rest of the building is available for rent and tenant improvements with and connect. Yeah, the
Amtrak would...
Amtrak. No, okay. Burlington Northern has none of it. Amtrak is managing that whole thing. And there has been some interest in some people, and we've hooked them up with Amtrak because they'll make the decisions. They don't want anything that's going to generate a lot of retail foot traffic, anything like that. So some professional offices or something like that would be great in there.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. That would be an interesting place to have an office.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of cool.
In, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, Susie says no. She doesn't want an office there.
I was just watching the trains go by. That's what I would do all day.
It is mesmerizing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I love trains.
I think we have time for just one more question.
Okay.
So we have city elections coming up
mm-hmm.
this fall.
Mm-hmm.
City elections are held in odd numbered years.
Mm-hmm.
We have three council seats coming up, I think.
Yes.
And the mayor's seat.
And the mayor's seat. Yes.
So will you reveal to us whether you'll be running again?
Da, 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 da. No, I will not.
You will not. Oh.
I love the work, and I think it's, you know, I love doing it. But this was, as I like to say, not part of my retirement plan. And I figure I have a kind of a 10-year window to do, not that I have a bucket list, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And this
to
job is
stuff.
Consuming,
yeah.
to do other mm-hmm. stuff. This job is consuming. I mean, I spend a lot of time. And so I will not be running. I did entertain the idea of being on council, but I again know what a workaholic, dedicated person I am, and that would not help my situation either. So I'm going to be done in January, and I'm looking forward to some really good candidates out there in listening land to be interested in doing it. It requires a lot of time. Hopefully, we'll be able to hire a city administrator through this next budget period, and that will certainly change the dynamic of the mayor's job, and somebody could do it with less attention and time that I choose to do it.
How many hours do you put in?
A good 30 hours a week. And that doesn't count my worry time at home.
and that's you feel like that's kind of the minimum amount of time
somebody's
got to be able to dedicate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the pay is?
$1,000 a month.
$1,000 a month.
To be kicked up to $1,200 a month in January.
So that works out to like for the new term. At least $2 or $3 an hour, I'm sure.
Oh, I don't think it even calculates out to that. But
yeah, when you add it all together. Yeah. You're not going to be doing it for the money.
No.
But what the effect of that is, of course, is it narrows the pool of people that could actually run for mayor.
Right.
Because people that are still, you know, needing to have an income.
Well, and there's always this discussion. Do you increase the mayor's wage or do you go with the city administrator?
Right.
You know, the city administrator is attractive to me because it has a continuity from elected terms to elected terms. Whereas the mayor, it's kind of a roller coaster. You never know.
That's right.
How they're going
to
do
come
things.
Come in and try to totally reverse the stuff that's been going on in previous years.
Right, right. And not to say that city administrator would establish policy, because they wouldn't. They would implement policy of the mayor and the council. But I think there would be more continuity. So I'm a real supporter of the city administrator point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we really are very fortunate to have your interest here of coming into the KRFY morning show. And every 6 weeks or so, we'll set you up in June sometime after our membership drive to come in again and update us on what's going on in the city of Sandpoint. Thank you so much, Mayor Carrie Logan.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I always do enjoy talking to you guys.
Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming, Carrie.
And I'm not going to put on another song. We just have about 5 minutes, and we have a few announcements that we want to talk about here at 88.5 KRFY. Next Tuesday on the morning show, we will have our guests from Preservation Idaho talking about the train station and their 38th annual Orchids and Onions Award. And then right after that, Dennison Webb will be in from the Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education, talking about his organization and also the upcoming Idaho Gives Day, which is May 7th. So you can tune in to 88.5 KRFY for next Tuesday's morning show. And this tomorrow, Chris, we have an extra special morning show tomorrow.
Yes, we do. We're going to be having the bonus edition of the KRFY morning show on Wednesday, and it is with State Senator Sean Keel. We're going to be talking about what happened down at the state legislature in Boise during the legislative session that just ended.
I think that's always interesting to hear from Sean.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and it's interesting to get her perspective on all the bills that were passed and the issues that were discussed down in the legislature. It affects us here.
And tomorrow, and on Thursday, April 30th, you can join Jim and Jack, KRFY Thursday morning show hosts. They will be taking a journey through the KRFY music library and local music shows. We're going to hear all about the music that you hear on KRFY, what you hear and why you hear it. And
there's, of course, a ton going on in town this week. We don't have time to go through it, but if you go to our website, KRFY.org or sandpointonline.com, they share the same community calendars. One thing I do want to throw out, a special event happening on Friday is an evening with Charlie and Friends at the Panda Theater. It's a tribute benefit concert for Charlie Packard. And that's going to be really cool. It's going to have a lot of local artists that are going to, I guess Charlie just gets to sit there and take it in.
And they're all going to perform Charlie's songs.
It's Charlie's song. And he has written an incredible number of songs.
I know.
He's basically an institution around here. That's going to be at 7:30 p.m. on Friday at the Panada.
And I want to remind people that tonight you can tune in at 8 o'clock for the show that I host, Between the Notes. Tonight my guest will be Patrice Webb. She's a singer-songwriter, and it's all about songwriting. We're going to also remind our listeners that on May 29th, the KRFY benefit concert at the Panada is happening. And right now you're going to hear one of the bands, Lindsay Lou and the Flat Bellies. This song is called The Fix. They're performing with Patchy Sanders, so you're going to hear a lot of their music in the next month. And we hope you have a beautiful day.
We do. Bye now.
We'll see you next time.